today as we come to the table.
Again, David in Psalm 103:14 says this, "For God knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust." What a great prayer to pray. Guys, next time you mess up, I'm not saying again, don't make excuses for your sin. God's not going to buy that. He's given us the Holy Spirit that now gives us the power to turn away, and he expects us to repent. But when we do fall, when we do stumble, one of the best prayers we could ever pray is, "God, remember that I'm only dust. Have mercy on this dust speck. You know, I want you to work in my life. I want you to transform me. But Lord, I'm only dust." They understood that. Now, it is also interesting from a scientific point of view that the elements that make up man are exactly the same elements we find in what? Dirt.
Have you ever considered how mankind came to be? We all learned in school that humans descended from a monkey species. The Bible, on the other hand, claims that we were created from dust. How can we be certain that the Bible is correct? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Pastor Mark explains and proves in today's message how God created mankind from dust. You are always a victim of sin in your daily life. But did you know that your Creator loves you and is willing to overlook all of your flaws? He desires to work in your life and change you. All you have to do is trust in Jesus, confess your sins, and build an intimate relationship with Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Now you meet Mark, the pastor. So it becomes more intimate. It becomes more detailed. God starts the Bible out by saying, God created. And now God gets more intimate and says, now it's the Lord God. You know me personally. You know my name. And that's what a beautiful picture even of salvation. Because we see the world, those without the Lord, not knowing him personally, if you will. And now we see God creating man for this personal relationship, and he adds a name to it. So we see God following this pattern of not only more detail, but getting more personal as he works through this. So it literally says, Jehovah Elohim, you know, Jehovah Elohim created or made the earth and the heavens. So giving that intimate side to it and the personal side. Remember, the Bible is God's love letter to man. And that takes a personal relationship, not a religious one. So again, some of you maybe that have known the Lord religiously, but not personally, to you, he's just been God. He's been Elohim. And now God is saying to your heart, no, and maybe even, I want to be Jehovah Elohim. I want to be your personal God. I want to know you intimately. I want to be the God that, you know, helps you find your car keys and teaches you how to be a better husband, teaches you how to be a better wife. I want to be the God that gets to know you and shares life with you and has this intimacy with you. That's the God that he desires to be, not just this religious icon that's out there somewhere. So his desire is to know us personally and individually. You know, this is what sets our God apart from all others. This is one of the things. There are many, but this is one of the things. For example, in Hinduism, you don't know God in Hinduism. You become a God. They believe that you can be God. You get in tune with the oneness of the universe, and the trees are God, the rocks are God. You learn how to meditate and get, you know, I saw a shirt this week, you know, get in line with the divine. It's that whole kind of mindset where somehow you align with the divine simply by how you live your life, and now you get in tune, if you will, and you come to a higher plane and all this. That's a very different God than the God of the Bible. That is not the God that we worship. Very different God. You go to, our God is a personal God you get to know. You don't become him. You move on to Islam, Allah. It's interesting. Allah is known in Islam, one of his names, if you will. They don't really have a name for him, but what they refer to him as, note this, they call him the Great Unknowable. Now, isn't that interesting? When you see in the Muslim God, Allah is known as the Great Unknowable, how would we probably refer to our God? The Great Knowable. The one who wants to know us intimately, the one who is intimately involved, very different. So you see, the God that we have, the God of the Bible, stands apart from all the other gods, all the other religions, all the other things that are laid out. Our God stands alone. And that's important to realize because that's really one of the main things that sets him apart. He wants to know you. intimately and be involved. Notice here in verse 5, it says, in the earth rather, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the entire face of the ground. Now, I love this verse. Notice this. This verse is what causes most theologians to believe that it didn't rain until the flood of Noah. But rather, a mist went up and watered the earth. And if indeed this is the case, as it would seem, and that's what I believe as well, how shocking it must have been to the inhabitants of the world when the doors of the ark closed and the rain began to fall for the first time in Noah's day. You ever thought about that? I mean, here's this radical guy, you know, in the middle of the desert, you know, preaching that God's going to judge, or, you know, God's going to judge the earth, you know, and God's going to do this. And he starts building a boat. I mean, the guy's been working on this boat for 120 years, the Bible says, you know, getting ready for this flood. And he says, God's going to rain down from heaven and he's going to flood the entire earth. Yeah, right. God's going to judge the earth. All you radical, you know, all you talk about is God's going to judge. God's going to judge. We're in big trouble. Ooh, Noah. You know, build your boat, rain. What's rain, Noah? Water's going to fall from the sky. Got you on that one, right, Noah? And they walk off laughing. Can you imagine when they're there that day, and after the ark had been closed for 7 days, and suddenly the first the sound of the rain. Hey, what's that? I don't know. Look out there. Hey, come here. You got to see this. What is this? I don't know. See what it is. Whoa, it's water. There's like water falling from the sky. No. Yeah, they're really, come look. And it starts to get harder. You're like, well, what is this all about? Hey, wait a minute. That religious nut, that Noah, that guy, remember he kept saying it's going to like, no, you don't believe that, do you? Come on, this guy's crazy, man. He's been out in the desert building a boat for 120 years, talking about God judging the earth. Since when have you believed that? And I'm not saying I believe it, but you tell me, what's going on out here? Well, I don't know, but this is something strange. I mean, we'll figure out what it is. And can you imagine as it continued to fall and it continued to get worse and the rivers begin to rise and suddenly they realize we're in trouble, it's starting to flood, and as they begin to run to the boat, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but you know what? It took a long time for the water to get high enough to lift that ark off the ground. And I wonder if there weren't huge crowds gathered around the ark banging on the sides, saying, Noah, let us in, let us in. And Noah's heart's got to be breaking. For 120 years, I warned you. And you mocked and you made fun. He said, oh, God's not going to judge. Everybody said that. He's not going to bring judgment. We're going to be okay. And now it's too late because God said, once the door is closed, the door is closed. And for some of you, it might be a door closing day. This may be the last opportunity God gives you to give your life to Christ. And you've been running, and God's been reaching out to you. You know that you don't know him on a personal level. Listen, I wonder, I don't know if they'll ever find the ark. Some say they have, and if they do and find pictures, I wonder, would the wood even be preserved enough to see in the side of it? I wonder, would there be fingernail marks? And in the background of your mind, the echoes of the cries saying, please. And Noah thinking, it's too late. You don't understand. You had your opportunity, and now you've turned it away. Listen, the Bible says that for each one of us, God gives an opportunity, but there comes a day when the door is closed. And for some people, that even happens before they die. Wait a minute, Mark, I thought until we died, everybody had the chance. Generally, that's true, but the Bible says that if we continue to harden our heart, there comes a point even in our lives where God will say, that's enough. Your heart's not going to turn. And God agrees with our choice that we make, and we can't get in. Guys, we need to be serious about it. And again, today, if you don't know the Lord, you need to do that right now. You need to say, you know what? I need to give my life to Christ. And we need to do that, to offer ourselves to the Lord. Maybe some of you right now are saying, you know what? I want to do that. I want to give my life to the Lord. And you know, you need to do that. How do I do that, Mark? What do I do? You simply believe that you're a sinner. You say, I'm a sinner. I recognize that. Lord, forgive me of my sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Somebody had to pay for it. See, we've done things that are wrong. Somebody's got to pay. God is a God of justice. He doesn't want to judge. He has no choice but to judge. He's a God of justice. And somebody has to pay for all that stuff you know that you've done right now, that you know what you've done. You know maybe what you're doing at the very moment. Somebody's got to pay for it. Are you going to be able to? Impossible. The Bible says only pure blood, spotless, sinless blood of a man can do it. Jesus did it on the cross. Now, here's the good news. All you've got to say is, all right, I'm caught. You know everything about me. You know how many hairs I have on my head. You certainly know of all the sins I've done my whole life. You know what I'm doing right now. You know everything. All right, I come to you and I ask your forgiveness. I confess that I'm a sinner, and now I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my life. I believe you resurrected the third day. I don't want to be outside of the door when it closes. I want in. The Bible says if you do that, you're in the kingdom. It's as simple as that. It's not a hard thing to do, and yet you've got to make the decision to do it. Well, it's interesting here. This mist that came up from the earth. It's amazing when you get back and look at the creation story here. This was really an ingenious design when you consider what it would have done. You see, with this mist going around the earth, it would have equally watered the plants all over the earth. And we now know from horticulture that the best watering you can do for a plant is a continual mist. See, you can water it with rain, you can water it with a hose, that does okay, but a continual mist is what makes plants grow the best and makes them the healthiest. Now, no surprise there, God told us that's how he set it up. And so he knows what he's doing. He created it, he did it. But it's exciting because all the plants would have been watered worldwide. You wouldn't have had deserts all over the world. You would have had beautiful foliage all over the place, truly a garden of paradise around the world, even though we have a separate garden we'll see next week. But this is neat. Those of you that hate the clouds in the winter, in addition, there would have never been a rainy day, only sunny ones. Can you imagine? You hear people talk about, come to sunny California, come to sunny Florida, come to the sunny earth. I mean, that's what it would be. We're on this planet. It's sunny everywhere, you know? You call your relatives, hey, what's the weather like there? Same as it is where you are. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's right. Exact same temperature all over the earth. Exact same weather all over the earth. That's what it would have been. Now, also, and this is exciting to me, because scientists tell us that had there been a canopy around the earth, as the creation, as we believe, because the Word of God says, remember there on the second day in Genesis 1, he says he separated the waters from the waters. And we talked about this worldwide canopy, by the way. How in the world could it have rained 40 days and 40 nights? We know there's not enough liquid to do that now, worldwide, if you will. How did it do that? The Bible says that in the flood, God not only released the springs of the oceans, but God opened the windows of heaven. And remember in Genesis on the second day, it says in chapter 1 that God separated the waters from the waters, and we see this canopy surrounding the earth with water. God simply released that water. That's why it's not there anymore. But when it was there, it would cause this greenhouse effect. And what's exciting about this, scientists tell us that if there had been a canopy around the earth, such as described in Genesis chapter 1, there would be no need for rain because there'd be a greenhouse effect with all the moisture, all the condensation, all the evaporation, and everything evenly distributed within that water barrier around the earth so that the entire earth's climate and temperature would all be the same around the entire world. Isn't that exciting? Exactly what scientists say would be the outcome, as we know was the outcome, as God created it. So he goes on and says, and after he does all this, and the Lord God formed the man. Now he makes man. He formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Again, this breathing into his nostrils shows an intimacy, a closeness, a caring of actually giving this man life. And again, this verse is loaded, is why we're going to finish with it. Notice first here, it says that God formed man from the dust of the earth. And this is something we must never forget. Guys, grasp this today. If you grasp nothing else, and I hope you grasp more than this, we are made of dirt. That's exactly what we're made of. Now, it's forgetting this one truth that causes many of us many of our heartaches. Why? Because, well, we tend to think that we're more important than we are, and we expect more out of ourselves than we should. The true realization that we are only dirt releases us from pride, false expectation, and glory seeking. I mean, let's face it, it's hard for dirt to get puffed up. You know, I'm pretty awesome dirt. Well, you're still dirt. Yeah, but I'm better dirt than you. I'm smarter dirt than you. And my, this dirt sculpted better than your dirt. I give it a few years. It won't be. Time will catch up with you, you know. You enjoy it now. You're still dirt. And you're going to go back to dirt. You know, it says in Romans 12:3, Paul said, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Guys, this right here should keep us humble. Just knowing that we're dirt. You know, it keeps us viewing ourselves properly, and it also keeps us viewing us properly in light of God. And shows us who he is as compared to us. But this realization also keeps us, and here's the flip side, it also keeps us from expecting too much from ourselves and being too hard on ourselves. Now, let me say this. That doesn't excuse us to sin. I'm not saying because we're dirt, might as well sin. I'm dirt anyway, right? I'm a dirt ball. Might as well sin. I'm not saying that, okay? No, we're accountable not to sin. We need to repent, and God gives us his Holy Spirit that helps us not to sin, and we're to turn from it. We are redeemed dirt, all right? So there's some hope there in that sense. But at the same time, listen, I think sometimes we put higher expectations on ourselves than God ever did. You ever mess up and think, I can't believe I did that. And you know God's doing, you know what God's saying? I can't. I knew you'd do that. And you'll do it again. I know what you're going to do tomorrow. Because you're only dust. Don't think too highly of yourself. Again, not excusing yourself to sin, but realizing Don't beat yourself up when God begins to reveal your weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. To what level can dirt truly attain? It's interesting. Abraham and David understood this. Abraham in Genesis 18, 27, it says, then Abraham answered and said, he's speaking to the Lord here. He says, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Notice his humble approach. Abraham, being much closer to the creation than us, having the dust in mind, said, look, here I am. I'm this little dust speck that you've created and you've given life. I have something to come to you with, and I come to you humbly, and I'll have mercy on me. Again, David in Psalm 103, 14 says this, for God knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. What a great prayer to pray. Guys, next time you mess up, I'm not saying again, don't make excuses for your sin. God's not going to buy that. He's given us the Holy Spirit that now gives us the power to turn away, and he expects us to repent. But when we do fall, when we do stumble, one of the best prayers we could ever pray is, God, remember that I'm only dust. Have mercy on this dust speck. You know, I want you to work in my life. I want you to transform me. But Lord, I'm only dust. They understood that. Now, it is also interesting from a scientific point of view that the elements that make up man are exactly the same elements we find in what? Dirt. Dust and dirt. If you grab a handful of that and pick it up, that's what you're made out of. Did you know that? It's interesting. I was reading yesterday, there were some scientists that were trying to prove that the Bible was wrong, and it was back when they were doing studies of dirt, I guess, when that first started, whatever, you know, as far as scientifically able to test it. And one of the things they were excited to do was to find out, you know, my understanding of the article was to find out, you know, that man wasn't dirt, and that would show God's word being false. Guess what they found out when they studied dirt and studied man and what we're made of? Exactly the same thing. All of the same elements. We're just simply formed, and life has been breathed into us, and suddenly they got real quiet. Because they realize exactly as the Bible says, we are indeed made out of dirt. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. God said it, but we see God literally forming here. The wording of the language here talks about like a potter out of clay. And we've talked about that before, how God forms it. We talked about it last week. It's the exact wording and analogy that God uses here and throughout the scriptures. God formed Adam, and then God breathed life into Adam. Now, again, he forms us physically, but he also forms us spiritually, doesn't he? We talked about that last week. God forming us. So that's the wording used here. But notice next, after God formed Adam, it says he breathed into his nostrils. Again, we see this intimacy to breathe. I mean, you got to get pretty close to breathe into somebody's nostrils. And secondly, it's more than just the breath of life. I believe this was the breath of eternal life. And why do I say that? Well, remember that God created Adam to live forever. When he was initially created as an eternal being, physical and spiritual complete. There he was, body, soul, and spirit. Right now, at that moment, God breathed into him. And so for the beginning, God wanted this eternal relationship with him. And so before the fall, there was only one breath of life. That is the physical breath and the spiritual breath, and they were combined into one. But now, guys, understand we have two breaths of life. And Mark, what do you mean? Well, we have a physical breath of life that every single one of us gets at birth. When we're born, we're alive. Actually, it happens before birth. You know, it happens in the womb. You're already breathing through the resources of your mother and the one that's carrying you. You know, sometimes I have fun with the girls in that. I say, you know, girls, actually, when you were born, you were 10 months old. And so they love that. Wow, I'm already this age. And they'll, you know, I told them that one time. They're always like, well, I'm this age, you know. Because you're 9 or 10 months with your mom already created and being formed and shaped. It's just that when you come out, we as men officially recognize that as day one. But you're like 9 or 10 months old the day you're born. But the bottom line is you have this breath, and this breath is breathed into, but it's only physical. There's not a spiritual life. The Bible says that after the fall, we are born spiritually dead. Adam was the only one, he and Eve, created spiritually alive and physically alive. Now we are born, if you will, physically alive, spiritually dead, and hence now we have the need to be born again. And so to be born physically but not be born spiritually means we can't go to heaven. It means we have to be born a second time. This is why in John chapter 3, Jesus said this, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Note that. Again, I've told you about the bumper sticker I saw here one time in town. It said, born okay the first time. No, that's a deceived individual. Because the Bible says we're not born okay the first time. We're born physically, but there's a void missing. The light's turned off on the inside, if you will. And the only way to turn that switch on is to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need you to right now give me second birth. That is to be born again spiritually. And so here's my point in all this. If you're here today and you've been born physically, I think we can prove that. But you haven't been born spiritually. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Even as the ark was closed to the door of those that tried to get in, the ark of the door of heaven is now closed to you. You can't get in. Here's the good news. The door is still open if you'll walk through it. And Jesus said, I am the door. And all who come to me will in no way perish. We have to make a choice to come to the Lord. So again, confessing him and giving our life. You know, God breathing life into Adam reminds me of what I want to finish with today. Let's turn lastly to John chapter 20. And this is the setting. Remember, Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And in his resurrection now, he's going to go and surprise his disciples. Remember, he just appeared in the upper room there, and he came a couple times and scared them to death. And I think that would do the same thing to us, somebody just showing up in the room. But again, remember, up to this point, they have not received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, were they saved? Yes, technically, they were in the kingdom because they had devoted themselves to Jesus Christ. But the actual born-again experience had not yet taken place, even in the disciples. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that happens the moment that God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. It tells us that in Romans as well as other places. But these guys did not yet have the Spirit because the Spirit was not yet given as far as the indwelling through Jesus Christ. That came after the death and resurrection of the Lord on the cross. And so, what do we see here in this? The Lord comes to them, and now that he's resurrected, he wants to impart to them this born-again experience, the Spirit that would now move inside and live in them. And we see that take place here in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. The Lord has now shown up in the room. And notice what it says here. It says, then Jesus said to them, peace to you, that is shalom. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, note this, and think of Adam in the garden, or rather, when he created Adam, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same breath of life that the Lord breathed into Adam. He now breathes into the disciples. It's very interesting here. The word receive the Holy Spirit, it's the word lambano. And by the way, it's in the command form in the language. And what that means is Jesus says, I am commanding you, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them. The breath of life in their nostrils, even as he had done with Adam. It's exciting. We see even as the first Adam, if you will, Adam, the first perfect man, having life breathed into him by the Lord. Now we see Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the Bible tells us, the last created perfect man, now breathing life into them and giving them life as well, imparting that life to them. And he breathed into them and they received life at that point. And so even as Adam became a spiritual being at that point, they became spiritual beings at that point as well. Now, where does that leave us today? The question today is, are you spiritually alive? Listen, I can't leave today without asking that. You need to make sure. Maybe you've been listening today and you said, you know what, I am religiously alive and I'm physically alive and I have been for many years, but this whole spiritual life, being born again, I thought there was a difference. There's born again Christians and then there's Christians. You know, I grew up thinking that. I grew up thinking there were two different groups, almost like denominations. There's the Christians and there's the born again Christians. And I wasn't a part of those born again Christians because these guys were a little bit strange. They believe the Bible. They actually take them to church with them. It's a little weird. You know, they say that God wrote it and the man didn't write it. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to be around these born again Christians. And it wasn't until I became born again that I realized if you're not born again, you are not a Christian. And if you are not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. There is no other way to do it except through Jesus Christ and becoming born again. So the question is, are you born again? Jesus said there in John chapter 3 again, if you've not been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The first birth of the physical and now the second birth of the spirit, it's got to take place.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.